passion. Holy and infinite God, to know you is a lifelong journey of learning and growing in faith and love.
Yet too often, we do not make nurturing our faith a priority. We let our busy schedules and activities crowd you out. Our understanding of you is either too big or too small, and we don't see any reason to change or deepen our relationship with you. So often we feel unsure of our worth or purpose, and it's too easy to buy into whatever the world around us says about who we should be and what we should do. Forgive us, O God, for leaving you behind and not believing that your presence and power can help us live more joyful and fulfilling lives. Renewed by your grace, may we seek you first in our daily lives and continue growing in the embrace of your welcoming love. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Friends, hear the good news. Our lives are filled with the grace of Jesus, Son of God.
Every day we are blessed with his presence, and every day a new adventure is laid out in front of us.
One rock in the road may cause us to lose our footing, but it is not the end of our journey.
We trust that God will always lead us back on the path, and we know that God is with us always. Amen. Morning, let us join together in the prayer for understanding. God of all love and wisdom, send your spirit to this place to bless our reading and hearing of your living word, that it may be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, the 4th chapter. Let us listen for the word of God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So this year was the first year that we actually had a full year of Sunday school and faith formation that could be in person. There were no shutdowns or anything like that we had to go all on Zoom or all online, which is a wonderful thing to celebrate. And so we would like to share with you today some of the lessons that have been learned in our many different faith formation classes. Faith formation is not just Christian education, and it's not just for kids. It's for every age, from the youngest to the oldest in our faith family. And so we have invited folks here to share a bit with you about what they have learned. So I'd like to invite our Connect students to come up first.
The Connect class that we have consists of fifth and sixth graders, and they're a delightful, delightful group. What we learned this year is from the Old Testament. So they started from Genesis, understanding how God created the world, to where we ended with Romans and Caesar and how he conquered. So we asked the students to pick a story that resonates with them, that they enjoy, that they like, and they'll speak and share that with you.
Genesis 6-9 tells the story of Noah's Ark, the flood, and God's promise. Because of the sinfulness of humanity, God flooded the earth, saving only Noah, Noah's family, and some animals on the ark. After flood waters receded, Noah and his family got off the ark. God made a covenant, or promise, with Noah and all humanity to never flood the whole earth again. When we see rainbows today, usually after a rainstorm, we are reminded of this promise, and so is God. God knows we are sinful, but God forgives us always.
Genesis chapter 11, 1-9. In the Tower of Babel story, the people used bricks to build a tower that would build a name for themselves. The problem in this story wasn't that the people were building a tower. The problem was why they were building the tower, to make a name for themselves and to stay in the same place instead of scattered around the earth. This construction project revealed the people's selfishness. They disobeyed God's command in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. But God is the most mighty and strong and awesome. So God scattered the people and made them all speak different languages so they couldn't understand each other. The tower remained abandoned as a reminder that God alone deserves to be praised.
In Exodus chapter 20, 1-17, God commanded the Israelites to follow 10 rules. These rules help them live in relationship with God and with each other.
Not only we have sirens to compete with too. Let's let them go by. All right, I think you're good. Go ahead. Okay.
God commanded the Israelites to follow 10 rules. These rules help them live in relationship with God and with each other. God spoke all these words. I am the Lord, your God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house.
And then I've been asked to represent our last student, which is Gavin. And Gavin had selected the burning bush where God had spoke to Moses through the burning bush, which was kind of amazing. That was what Moses was wondering, how come this bush is not burning? And so that was what Gavin has selected and drew. So thank you.
Next, we invite our Fathom class. This was the first year for our high school Sunday school class, and so we have some folks from Fathom here to share their experience with us.
Presenting a short skit about injustice.
Here you are. Here you are. Next. There you go.
Thank you.
So how did this look?
Why didn't I get one?
Hey, why didn't Sam get one? Recognize injustice. Recognize injustice.
Well, I don't really like people who wear orange. I don't think they deserve to have necklaces.
Check your prejudice.
Check your prejudice.
How do you think Sam feels about not getting a necklace? They didn't do anything wrong.
Probably not good, but I don't really care.
What would Jesus do?
You're in a church, be careful.
Well, he would probably give him a necklace, and he would probably tell me to give a necklace, because that's the right thing to do.
Speak up.
Invite our Shine class to come up.
It's not ASL, we called it Shine SL.
I'd like to invite Barbara Wilkins, one of our stalwart participants in our Faith for Life program. Faith for Life is our adult education program, and she's going to share a little bit about why this is important to her.
Hello, friends.
Hello.
It's so good to be back to one Sunday service where I can be with so many of you again. I normally attend the 8 o'clock service, so my contact with many of you has been limited. I'm old. Some would say extremely old. So I've done a lot of living since I first started attending this church in 1941 when I was 10 years old. You can do the math. But I've never been more excited to be part of this fellowship than now. All my life, I've been curious and ready to learn about everything, at home, in school, on the farm, in the town, while traveling the world, and with new and old friends in church. Sharing books and experiences has opened many doors to ideas and information about which I have been ignorant, and I didn't know that I was ignorant, like many of you. This last many years has fed that quest for knowledge and deeper understanding through our church's Faith for Life program, in focused Bible studies, in book study groups, in women's study groups. I'm grateful for all these opportunities to grow with you. We have explored the meanings of many biblical stories through acquaintances introduced to us in the parables. We've struggled along with some of our authors in their wrestlings with their own faiths. We have been permitted to question. I've been particularly grateful for the opening of my eyes to the origins, conditions, and understanding of our unconscious racial discrimination in our country and its history. Where does our Christian faith fit in? These studies have provided the opportunity to continue to grow in an environment of acceptance where no questions are foolish. Many of our studies have short videos to enhance our understanding of the author's message. Some of the authors we meet are having their own struggles with their faith. We explore with each other. I plan to continue growing. I would welcome you to grow with me. It's a heady experience to be immersed in an expanding world of knowledge and understanding. Come along for the ride. Thank you.
I recently started telling people that I want to be like Barbara when I grow up. I'd like to invite our FaithX class to come on up and share some of what they've learned.
Good morning. This year, our 7th and 8th grade class, otherwise known as Faith X, explored the Bible.
From creation, through the flood, through slavery and Exodus, Jesus' birth, his teachings, his death and ascension, and all in between, we've had many thoughtful discussions. Many of our discussions centered around the morals of the Bible and modern rites, which were taboo in ancient times and often still debated. Every lesson provided us with new insights on how things worked in the early days and how and why we got to where we are now. We have learned many new things through our discussions and have strengthened our faith in God.
The following is a little note from our class teachers. We thoroughly enjoyed our journey through the Bible with kind and inquisitive group of middle schoolers. Although we are adult class leaders, we collectively agree that we learned a whole lot from this group of amazing youth. I agree, we are in fact amazing youth. They kept us on our toes and gave us interesting ideas to think about every week.
Today, as a class, we hope to share this experience with you. We have developed an iBible to present the lessons we have learned during our year-long journey from the Old Testament through the beginnings of the New Testament. Each app reflects a lesson that we covered. If the ancient world had iPhones, the screen may or may not look something like the board you see up front. We have handed out packets which briefly describe the apps and lessons we have learned. We invite you to explore as we have this year. The story of creation. Earth was created and is good.
Rebellion. Temptation destroyed the balance of peace. Jealousy led to murder.
The story of Exodus. Israelites were enslaved. God sent plagues to display his power, and Pharaoh let the Israelites go. Our belief in God can free a nation. The story of the commandments. As the Israelites wandered, God laid down laws, and while Moses was away, Israelites turned to worshiping idols. This we learned that turning to idols has consequences.
Wandering. Israelite complained, God supplied quail and water, God supplies for our needs with evil birds.
The story of the promised land. The Israelites spy on Jericho and then cross the Jordan and destroy the city. God can do great things, and those who believe in him will be saved no matter how small, whether physically or spiritually.
Judges. Israelites fell into a cycle of rebellion and suffering. Judges appears, including Deborah, who helped them defeat some of their greatest enemies. Even when times seem dark, there will come a beam of light. Light and hope, although not always how you'd expect it.
The story of Ruth. Naomi becomes a childless widow and decides to go back to the land of her people. She's followed by one of her stepdaughters, who supplies for her. Later, the same stepdaughter, named Ruth, marries a distant relative of Naomi's, named Boaz. And then they have the great-grandfather of David. The story of King Saul. He was a powerful man who followed God's ways, but as he drifted away from God's ways, well, he started to fall apart.
King David. There was a lot of hatred of him, but other people thought he was very important. He became the new king, and the kingdom of Israel loved him.
The story of King Solomon. David taught Solomon to be strong, courageous, and to follow God. Solomon followed God's ways and gained wisdom, yet that wisdom left him as he began to follow the ways of other kingdoms.
Hope and healing. Jesus removed the evil from a captive. Fun. The blind saw, the deaf heard, and the hurting were healed.
The stories of miracles. Jesus heals a paralyzed man, calms a storm, and feeds the hungry.
Kingdom's ways. Jesus taught his people and used parables with examples and cared for a wounded man.
The stories of the parables. Simple stories that illustrate morals or spiritual lessons as told by Jesus in the Gospels.
Kingdom treasures. Earthly possessions do not last. Be generous and invest in God instead.
The stories of Jesus' encounters. Jesus taught all not to judge. No group or individual is above another. Jesus chose to hang out with sinners, and all were worthy in God's eyes.
that is all. We didn't actually write a conclusion, so I'm just going to improvise. So this is what we learned throughout the year, or at least some of it. In our opinion, the most popular and important stories, though obviously we left some out, such as Noah's Ark and things like that. The phone of holy awesomeness. Thank you.
Now we're going to invite the co-chairs of our Faith Formation Commission to come up and share a little bit with you as well.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Jean Post-Winget. This is Andy Cross. We're the co-chairs of the Faith Formation Commission. And we just want to take a few moments to remind everybody about why we are all here and why lifelong faith formation is one of the church's ministry priorities.
The purpose of faith formation here at FBCY is to help all of us remember who we fundamentally are as beloved children of God, made in God's image. Faith formation seeks to help our children, youth, and adults become the loved and loving whole human beings that God created us all to be.
But this isn't easy in today's world. Our culture and our Christian faith offer very different pictures of what it means to be whole. We would invite you to listen first to the values that our culture and the media are unrelentingly feeding us every day, and then to the values that our faith teaches us. Happiness is for sale and money buys it.
Versus true happiness comes from being loved and loving others as a whole human being created in God's image.
Competition is the name of the game in everything we do, because what else can really prepare you to be able to be a success in this rough dog-eat-dog world?
Versus, I can play, I can dance, I can sing, not to compete, but because it feeds my soul, or relaxes me, or makes me smile, and because it's fun.
Only first place actually matters. So bring home the gold or don't even go.
Versus, to win at something is to use your gifts, work together, and have fun, regardless of how you place.
To be loved and to matter, you really have to look right, you know? To sound right, to own the right stuff, and to be and to act cool.
Versus, you're loved by God and lovable just the way you are.
Asking someone for help, that's a sign of our weakness or of not being a whole human being.
Versus, we need to love one another every day and across our lifespan to succeed and to thrive as healthy, happy human beings.
To be busy, that's a true badge of honor and a measure of our worth.
Versus, our real worth is defined by the love we share, the time we give to one another, and the values we live by.
Make sure to sign up for everything, because it looks good and it can go on your resume or, better yet, your college applications.
Versus, everybody, young or old, needs time and the space to rest and to be bored, because that's what opens up the room for play and for exploration and the work of imagination. Even the US Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, himself a father of two young children, worries what the messages and values in our society are teaching our children, that we and the children are being led down a path that will not make us whole or fulfilled, and further perpetuating the current crisis epidemic of loneliness and isolation. In his words, to feel truly whole is about remembering who we fundamentally are.
The Faith Formation Commission is working to create a safe space for nurturing and supporting alternative messaging and alternative values, to be a community that listens and makes room for questions, for doubts and yearnings, for seekers of all stripes and all ages. A countercultural space for action informed by love and contemplation.
We're grateful for everyone who's helped us share this vision over the past year. And as you think toward next fall, we want to invite everyone to make the space for faith formation in your life and in the life of your family. And we welcome your ideas and your feedback about ways that we can do it most meaningfully and effectively.
Thank you.
Thank you.